Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the yuan strengthens as the U.S. pushes China to stabilize its currency.
Data from Japan adds to signs of an economic slowdown in Asia.
Theresa May heads to Brussels looking for a breakthrough on Brexit.
And Wall Street awaits minutes from the Fed's January meeting.
The ACLU joins a pile of lawsuits against President Trump's border wall emergency. Plus, an NYPD officer killed in the line of duty will be laid to rest today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Rangers with a much-needed win on the road, while baseball announces the richest free agent deal in history.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
Stocks in Europe and Asia are higher this morning, while U.S. futures are little changed. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 2 points, Dow futures down 19, NASDAQ futures up 1, the DAX in Germany is up 0.25%, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, so is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%, yield on the 2-year 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2%, or 12 cents to $55.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.60 to $13.47.50 an ounce. The euro $1.13.40. The yen 110.79. This data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest details emerging from trade talks between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg News has learned the White House is pushing Beijing to keep its currency stable as part of any trade deal. Sean Donnan reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
This is really all about something that the administration got very angry about last year, which was as they were imposing tariffs, they thought the Chinese were responding by weakening the yuan and therefore counteracting any move to increase tariffs. They want to make sure that that's not going to happen if they get a deal in the future.
A pledge to stabilize the yuan has been discussed in multiple rounds of talks, with both sides tentatively agreeing to make it part of any final deal. The move runs counter to years of pressure from G20 countries pushing China toward a free-floating currency. Yuan is stronger by more than 0.5% this morning.
We're getting more weak economic data out of Asia, this time from Japan. The country's exports fell 8.4% in January as shipments to China declined. Bloomberg's Malcolm Scott has more.
It's not just Japan we're looking at here and getting worried about. It's that whole North Asia complex. We've seen some soggy numbers out of Korea, these bad numbers out of Japan. It's not looking good.
And Japanese exports to China fell 17% in January, reaching the lowest level in 2 years.
Now the next key indicator today comes at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, when we get minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest policy meeting. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
At their January 30th meeting, Fed policymakers confirmed they'll keep using the same policy-making system, setting a range for interest rates. That will require a larger balance sheet than before the financial crisis, and right now, markets are guessing as to how large it will be. So investors will look for clues in the minutes, which might tell them when the central bank will stop letting its bond holdings run off. They also want to know how firm the Fed's current pause is. The market consensus is they're done, no more rate moves this year. That's not what officials have said, so the minutes may help show whether traders have it right. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. Theresa May heads to Brussels today, hoping for a breakthrough in Brexit talks, but rhetoric from the prime minister and EU officials appear to be at odds ahead of the meeting. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports from Brussels.
So we have Prime Minister May come out and say, we do think this will be a significant meeting as she tries to get those legally binding concessions on the Irish backstop. But then we have Jean-Claude Juncker say, well, I don't know what the Prime Minister will tell me, but I think there will be no breakthrough. And frankly, sometimes I do lose time on Brexit. In the eyes of the European Union, in many ways, nothing has really changed. The EU at this point thinks there's no incentive to give out concessions now, because I do believe Prime Minister May will need more and will be back.
If these talks go right for Theresa May, she hopes to put a revised Brexit deal to a vote in Parliament early next week.
All right, turning to earnings now. Lloyds Banking Group is out with results in line with estimates. It's forging ahead with plans for a $2.3 billion buyback. Details from Bloomberg Intelligence senior bank analyst Jonathan Tice.
Revenues are a tiny bit light. The buyback is in line with expectations. The fact that they've got such big buyback and capital return plans signifies there is no growth in the UK, and that's the issue. So this stock is very much an efficiency play with decent capital return capacity, but the problem is there's no growth.
The costs at Lloyds continue to fall as it aims to be one of the most efficient banks in Europe. Shares are up 4% this morning.
We're also getting earnings from Glencore, the mining giant missing estimates, reporting its weakest trading profits in 5 years. The company also announced a new $2 billion buyback. Shares are currently little changed in London.
Back here in the U.S., we get earnings today from two dozen companies, including the first report from CVS since it closed its deal to buy Aetna. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say the report will focus on its initial 2019 outlook as a combined entity and the pace of insurer Aetna's integration. At Morgan Stanley, analysts say the CVS forecast will be, quote, one of the most controversial events for healthcare services investors this earnings season. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. We're learning more this morning about the nature of loans to the Trump Organization from Germany's largest bank. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Karen, sources tell Bloomberg officials at Deutsche Bank were worried the Trump Organization might default on millions of dollars in loans after President Trump took office. Concern was so high, they discussed extending repayments on the $340 million until after the president left office. CEO John Krein was leery of the public relations disaster Deutsche Bank would face if it went after the assets of a sitting president. But ultimately, sources say the bank decided against restructuring loans to the Trump Organization, choosing instead not to do any new business with the president. Eric Trump, the president's son, tells Bloomberg, quote, the story is complete nonsense. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
John, thank you. And futures this morning, little change to lower. S&P futures down 2.5 points. This morning, Dow futures down 32. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And thank you, Karen. It is 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The ACLU filed a lawsuit against President Trump's emergency declaration on behalf of the Sierra Club, claiming his plan to circumvent Congress to acquire necessary funding to build a border wall is unconstitutional. President Trump's emergency declaration is also being challenged in a multi-state lawsuit. The president appeared confident his administration can defend in court his emergency declaration to build the border wall, saying a strong wall will stop drugs, crime, and human trafficking.
I could call it a barrier, but I think I don't have to do that so much anymore. We'll call it whatever we want. But the point is that we have to have a stoppage.
The war between California and the Trump administration has kicked up a notch. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Trump administration is saying it will cancel more than $900 million in federal grants now that it focuses on just Merced to Bakersfield, and says it will go after the $2.5 billion already granted. Meanwhile, talks have broken down on vehicle emissions. California Attorney General Javier Becerra on Bloomberg saying the state will not go backward.
The biggest source of pollution of our air are our vehicles, and so we must continue to make progress. We've proven in the past, and automakers have proven in the past, that we have the technology to continue to do so.
And he says the state is ready to go to court on that as well. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
An ominous message from Russia's President Vladimir Putin warns new Russian weapons will target the U.S. if it deploys missiles to Europe. A wintry mix is on the way for the listening area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, the snow that's going to develop across the tri-state area later today will cause problems for the evening ride home. We have a winter weather advisory in effect for the tri-state area. From noon today, it runs through 6 a.m. Thursday. Snow changes to rain in the city by late afternoon, early in the evening. About a 1 to 3 inch accumulation before the changeover. The city is going to get up to about 35. Now, for the suburbs, they're going to hang on to the snow a little bit longer. I think most of the suburbs will end up with a 2 to 4 inch accumulation before a changeover to rain. Good news is the rain will end overnight and we'll have rising temperatures. Michael?
Thank you, Rob. An NYPD detective killed by friendly fire last week in Queens is being laid to rest. Ryan Simonson's funeral is today in the Hampton Bays. Simonson died February 12th after he was wounded once in the chest when officers opened fire on a robbery suspect. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
6:09 is the time on Wall Street now. Michael, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers broke 500 and kept their playoff hopes alive in Carolina.
Buchnevich to D'Angelo with room. Back to Buchnevich. He shoots. Save. Rebound clear to side. They score! It looks like Vlad Nemestikov.
It is.
It's a power play goal.
MSG on the call, 2-1 the final. Big night in net for Hank Lundqvist. He made 43 saves. Rangers are still 9 points out of the playoffs with 23 games left to play. Penguins avoid a sweep by the Devils with a 4-3 win in New Jersey. Spring trading, the richest deal in Major League Baseball history has been agreed to by former Oriole and Dodger Manny Machado. 10 years, $300 million with the Padres. It has everyone talking, including Yankee skipper Aaron Boone.
It being involved in conversations, there were so many different things that we covered over, you know, over the course of the winter. So who knows where things ended up. And then to see, you know, he and Harper obviously still out there this late. But I guess my take on it is, you know, San Diego signed a really great player.
There were more than 24 free agents at the start of camp, including Bryce Harper, who remains without a home. Speaking of free agents, in the NFL, if the Giants do lose wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. to the 49ers, one of the game's best, Antonio Brown, says he's available.
Want to win, and your squad want a hungry wide receiver who's the best in the whole world? Someone hit my phone. I think I done everything. What y'all think? What left for me to do?
It'll be costly. The Steeler wants guaranteed money to be paid the highest wide receiver in the game. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. Taking a look at the markets ahead of the open, they're pointed just slightly lower with S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures down just a half point. 10-year Treasury yield 2.62%. 2-year at 2.48%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we await new details on the pause. Bloomberg Economics Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna joins us ahead of the release of the minutes from the Fed's January meeting. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. Fed minutes today may help explain the dovish switch in January. Focal points will be whether central bank hawks were on board with the pivot and whether they'll move back into hiking mode. China won't appreciate its currency. That's according to a foreign ministry spokesman who also says Beijing hopes the U.S. won't politicize the exchange rate issue. Sources tell Bloomberg the chances of a Trump Organization default prompted Deutsche Bank to consider restructuring about $340 million of loans after the 2016 election. The bank was wary of potentially having to chase the assets of a sitting president and chose not to do any new business instead. And Glencore is unveiling a new $2 billion buyback. That comes after the miner reported its weakest trading profits in 5 years. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Erin, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 3 points, starting to extend their declines. Dow futures down 36, NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.62%, yield on the 2-year 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $55.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.60 to $13.47.40 an ounce. The euro at $1.1336, the yen 110.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the ACLU filed a lawsuit against President Trump's emergency declaration. According to the lawsuit filed on behalf of the Sierra Club, the president's plan to circumvent Congress to acquire necessary funding to build a border wall is unconstitutional. The Trump administration says it plans to cancel or reduce $3.5 billion in federal funds allocated to California's high-speed rail project It's a move Governor Gavin Newsom calls political retribution for the state's lawsuit against Trump's emergency declaration. The White House says President Trump plans to nominate Jeffrey Rosen as the new Deputy Attorney General. Rosen is currently the Deputy Secretary of the Transportation Department. In the NHL, the Rangers are winners, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. 2 p.m. Wall Street time, the Federal Reserve issues minutes of last month's policy meeting. Joining us now, Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna. That was the meeting, Carl, that delivered a surprise.
Yes, a big switch in tone for the markets at the January meeting. And I think the Fed was intending to overcorrect at that meeting, overcorrect in a dovish direction so as not to roil the markets or rekindle any of that negative market response that they saw following the December meeting, when really market participants viewed the Fed as sending a bit of a tone-deaf message to the markets.
Okay, so either they have a communication problem or we have a listening problem.
Well, I think it was a communication problem. Equity markets were down pretty sharply already heading into the December meeting, and the Fed not only hiked rates but signaled that more were coming in 2019, and that was something that the markets did not like to hear. There was a sharp sell-off after the meeting, and the Fed did have to correct its message and then came about with a much more dovish signal at the January meeting, where they really signaled that there was as much likelihood of a rate cut as a rate hike for their next move. I do think they overcorrected, and I'm not so sure that the hawks were really on board with that messaging. They needed to send a softer message to the markets, but I think they may have overdone that a little bit. And so one focus in the minutes release this afternoon will be to see the degree to which hawks were on board with that new twist in the messaging. Ultimately, it's going to be the hawks that drive back into hiking mode, if that should occur, a baseline view. So we need to hear from basically how many participants were maybe not quite on board with that dovish message in January.
All right, so are they going to signal they're moving back into hiking mode or what?
Well, we're starting to hear rumblings on that front. So even moderate hawks like Loretta Mester yesterday were saying that if her forecast is accurate, then there's probably a little bit more tightening that's warranted this year. That could be one or two more hikes. Really, it's going to the Fed is going to let the data do the heavy lifting for them. But our baseline view is, even though we've had a slew of very negative economic data at the end of 2018, we're still on a pretty firm trajectory. If we look at what's driving the economy, it's consumers, and barring that retail sales report, which may have some glitches in it that we saw last week, consumers are in relatively sound condition. Their income prospects are very favorable, with the unemployment rate likely moving lower into 3% territory as the year wears on. And I think by mid-year, when Fed officials reassess conditions, they will likely judge that higher inflation, more wage pressures, still above trend growth, warrants a little bit of additional tightening.
Okay, do they all of a sudden need a larger balance sheet?
Well, they're also having major discussions on what the right size of the balance sheet will be, also what the right composition of the balance sheet will be, and also the right path to get to that right size. These are all discussions that are still ongoing. And in fact, we have two Fed conferences at the end of this week that are talking about these balance sheet and technical issues. So I don't think policymakers have yet come to a conclusion, but a consensus does seem to be building that it will be a bigger balance sheet. They'll pivot away from mortgage assets on the balance sheet, and possibly even that they'll need to taper the glide path as they approach that final size.
All right, what else are you looking for in the minutes today?
Well, the focus is going to be on looking at how big that consensus was and how much uncertainty there really was towards the outlook. Is there a sense that problems in Europe and problems in China are really materially dampening the U.S. outlook, or was it more an effort just to avoid that negative market response. And I really think it's going to be the latter. The other interesting question will be to get the sense of where they see inflation pressures building. A lot of Fed commentary seems to think there's not upside pressure on inflation. My team tends to disagree.
Okay. Carl, always a pleasure. Bloomberg U.S. economist Carl Riccadonna. Coming up on 6:25 on Wall Street. Remember, 2 p.m. Wall Street time, we get the Fed Minutes. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you for that, John. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The yuan is strengthening by more than 0.5% as the Trump administration has asked or said to ask China to keep the value of its currency stable. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports on the implications.
President Trump might get his wish, but critics say it will undermine decades of policy. China's yuan rose about 0.5% on Wednesday, the biggest gain since January 25th. Sources say officials from the two countries are discussing currency policy in a memorandum of understanding. The MOU would form the basis of a broader deal. It does raise the question as to whether this aligns with U.S. calls in the past for China to be more market-driven on currency. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. This afternoon, the Federal Reserve issues minutes from last month's policy meeting. Investors are going to look for details on the decision to postpone further rate hikes. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Central bankers slammed on the brakes after lifting rates four times in 2018. It caught a lot of people off guard. Bloomberg Economics says the Fed apparently aimed to overcorrect in a dovish fashion. Fed officials may not have intended for futures to start pricing in the possibility of rate cuts. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Theresa May heads to Brussels today in a last-ditch attempt to save her Brexit deal. Meanwhile, back in Parliament, the Prime Minister has seen three MPs resign from her Conservative Party this morning.
Shares of Sainsbury are down more than 16% in London. The grocery chain's $9.5 billion takeover of Walmart's Asda chain faces a possibly insurmountable obstacle. Regulators say the plan doesn't address antitrust issues.
Shares of Southwest Airlines down 3% in early trading. The company is cutting its first quarter forecast due to the impact from the partial government shutdown.
On the earnings front, shares of Glencore are down 0.5%. The mining company reported its weakest trading profits in 5 years, while also announcing a $2 billion share buyback.
And coming up today, we get earnings from two dozen companies in the S&P 500. They include the first report from CVS since closing its deal to buy Aetna. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 3 points, Dow futures down 36, NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%, yield on the 2-year 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.5% or 25 cents to $55.84 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more. Let's learn more of what's going on around the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The ACLU filed a lawsuit against President Trump's emergency declaration on behalf of the Sierra Club. According to the lawsuit, the president's plan to circumvent Congress to acquire necessary funding to build a border wall is unconstitutional. The declaration is also being challenged in a multi-state lawsuit in the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. President Trump, speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, appeared confident his administration has the legal standing to defend his emergency declaration.
I have an absolute right to call national security. We need strong borders. We have to stop drugs and crime and criminals and human trafficking, and we have to stop all of those things that a strong wall will stop.
Former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe says it is possible President Trump is a Russian asset. On CNN, McCabe talked about his new book, The Threat, which paints a stark portrait of his time at the FBI under President Trump.
It is that persistent, corrosive effect of the attacks on law enforcement, the attacks on the intelligence community, the assault on our very system of justice, on those institutions that we rely upon every day to continue to maintain this country as a free and fair society.
The remarks come a day after McCabe outlined the reasons top U.S. officials decided to open a counterintelligence and obstruction investigation into the president. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway.
It's hardly worth dignifying with a response. He's a known liar and leaker, and he has said, gee, I guess it's possible, but I can't say that as a fact. Then why the heck are we talking about it?
President Trump is denying a New York Times report that he asked Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker whether a supporter could run the Southern District of New York probe looking into his family foundation and alleged hush payments to women. A New York City police officer killed by friendly fire last week in Queens is being laid to rest. Detective Brian Simonson's funeral is today in Suffolk County. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers have a hole to climb out of. If they're to reach the postseason, a 2-1 win in Carolina will help, especially with 43 saves from Henrik Lundqvist. Coach David Quinn.
It's hard to do the same thing over and over again in life. I think everybody wants to try something different. You know, if we can play simple north-south hockey, we've got enough skill that we can complement that. And I thought early on in the game, I thought we were just too cute.
Rangers are 9 points out of the playoffs with 23 to play. Pittsburgh rallies 4-3 to beat New Jersey on the road, avoiding a sweep. Baseball, one of the biggest free agency shoes, just dropped, and of all places, San Diego. Manny Machado agrees to a 10-year, $300 million deal, the richest in history. It's sure to set the tone for the rest of baseball. Yankees' Giancarlo Stanton likes the shape of this year's team.
It's definitely a pace. We know where we want to be, where we need to go. Start of day one, it's just you have that insight and what's the day-to-days we can accomplish together.
Bryce Harper remains the biggest name still unsigned. Every team's in camp. Games start this week. The league also introduced tougher rules this year on stealing signs. In college hoops, St. John's looking to build off the impressive upset of 13th-ranked Villanova Sunday at the Garden. Coach Chris Mullen, a guest on ESPN SportsCenter, says the kids are buying in.
Pretty amazing, actually, but it's a lot of fun. I think we're both really enjoying it. Much like Patrick and Georgia, we're passing on the knowledge that was given to us by our coaches and really just trying to help these kids.
St. John's visits Rhode Island at 8:30 tonight. On Tuesday, number 25, Buffalo pounded Ohio 114-67. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. 6:37 is the time now on Wall Street. Tesla, utilities, states, and environmental groups are challenging the EPA's decision to weaken federal fuel economy standards. And now the ride-hailing company Lyft wants to join the lawsuit. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The lawsuit challenges the EPA's determination that Obama-era fuel economy limits are too stringent and must be revised. The decision has kicked off the process for the standards to be redone. Bloomberg Environment's Abby Smith says Lyft wants more fuel-efficient cars in order to reduce costs.
They say we need to be part of this suit because we need to show the court and the judges that this isn't just impacting companies like Tesla and ChargePoint. This is also impacting ride-sharing companies that depend on a forward-looking transportation sector.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The stock market dipped last week over Senator Marco Rubio's proposal to change how investors are taxed when companies buy back shares. This knee-jerk reaction was unwarranted. Rubio wants to treat corporate buybacks and dividends the same, tax-wise. Under the current code, when companies are deciding what to do with income they don't plan to invest, they have an incentive to repurchase shares. But research has shown that as companies increase their share repurchases, they're less likely to prosper. This might be because firms are preferring buybacks to undertaking profitable investments. The problem with the tax code as it stands is that it isn't neutral. It distorts managers' decisions in an unintended way, with results that haven't been good. Rubio is right. The rules should be changed to put dividends and buybacks on a level footing. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
More than the lethal effects of alcohol abuse, more than kidney failure or too much salt, the sixth biggest killer worldwide is air pollution. The cause, of course, is the burning of fossil fuels, which generate soot and other airborne particles that hang in the atmosphere and eventually in your lungs. In a new example of the vicious cycle spun by climate change, research from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology suggests for the first time that pollution is lingering longer over cities and summer storms are becoming more powerful. When it comes to the global warming crisis, rising seas, catastrophic flooding, devastating heat waves, and unprecedented hurricanes get all the press. The new study reveals how even the more mundane aspects of weather are being affected by man-made damage in ways likely to become, if they haven't already, damaging to people and property. The problem has to do with how the atmosphere's changing heat structure is driving massive weather systems in regions where most people live. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Taking a look at the markets, they are pointing slightly lower, with S&P futures now down 3 points, Dow futures down 41, NASDAQ futures down 6 points. The price of the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, the yield at 2.63%, two-year Treasuries at 2.48%. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on this Wednesday morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are moving lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 38 points. S&P's dropped 3 and NASDAQ futures declined by 5. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.63% and Hong Kong rose 1% overnight. European markets are posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 o'clock, the minutes from the FOMC. And regarding earnings, look for CVS to report around 7 a.m., Analog Devices around 8. In other news, HSBC said that Apple's China issues are likely to continue beyond the short term. And Southwest Airlines cut its Q1 forecast on the government shutdown. Shares are down 5% in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Diamond Offshore was upgraded to overweight at Barclays. Southwest Air downgraded to sell over at Goldman Sachs. CenturyLink downgraded to sector perform at RBC. And E-Trade downgraded to neutral at UBS, while Schwab was cut to sell. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the American Civil Liberties Union is suing President Donald Trump's emergency declaration for border wall. The ACLU lawsuit on behalf of the Sierra Club claims the president's plan to circumvent Congress to acquire necessary funding to build a border wall is unconstitutional. A day earlier, 16 states, led by California, filed a lawsuit against the declaration. Senator Bernie Sanders is by far the top one-day fundraising getter among 2020 Democratic candidates running for the White House. On day one of his announcement yesterday, Sanders raised more than $4 million from 150,000 individual donors. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners. The Devils lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962, 10 months and 10 days after Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin beat him to the punch. Glenn traveled more than 81,000 miles as he circled the globe 3 times. Nathan Glenn said, boy, that was a real fireball when you re-enter the atmosphere.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. And now here we are more than a half century later, potentially getting close to letting tourists experience that fireball for themselves with the new space race underway.
I can't wait for Mars.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up on 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the release of the minutes from the Federal Reserve's January meeting. That's coming out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. As Michael mentioned, the ACLU joining the list of lawsuits against President Trump's emergency declaration at the southern border, and Bernie Sanders raising more than $4 million on the day he announced that he's giving it another go for a presidential run. Also making news this morning, why North Korea might give up its nuclear crown jewel in next week's summit between President Trump and leader Kim Jong-un. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is here with me now. The president, Kate, we heard yesterday say he is in no rush whatsoever to reach a deal with Kim on denuclearization. At the same time, you got to think he's got to have something to show from this summit in Hanoi next week.
Well, I think the president's definitely trying to lower expectations heading into the second summit. But I think it's important to remember that following the first summit, he essentially declared victory on North Korea nukes, tweeting that that North Korea was no longer a nuclear power, which just isn't true. So I think that it's interesting that now he's trying to sort of lower expectations and say, hey, don't worry. We shouldn't, you know, expect necessarily a broad reaching deal out of this second summit. So I think that that's kind of some insight, I guess, or my insight into what's going on here.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, though, we're starting to hear this word emerging that, I guess, as a show of good faith, North Korea might close down its Yongbyon Nuclear Scientific Research Center. This is something that the North has been operating for decades.
Absolutely. It's a site that's really been kind of at the forefront of the North's nuclear ambitions for the last 40 years or so. So that would be in some ways significant. But I think it's important to also remember, kind of with the caveat here, that all of these things are very complex. And so I think that this is sort of an aging facility and one that I think both Kim and Trump might see a benefit in, you know, bringing to the table and discussing, because in some ways, you know, Trump, certainly, if that is put on the table and Trump accepts it, Trump will point to that as kind of the first real tangible step towards denuclearization that Kim is taking. But, it, you know, there are other facilities potentially that he does have, and this is an aging facility and one that could be shut down in the near future anyway, and doesn't necessarily end the North's nuclear capability or maybe even significantly dent it. And so it's certainly far from the verifiable and complete nuclear denuclearization that, you know, the U.S. has been pushing for.
Well, certainly something to watch as we head toward that Hanoi summit late next week. Let's turn to the 2020 race. Bernie Sanders, as we mentioned, showing that he certainly still knows how to raise small dollar donations.
That's right. So he raised $4 million in small donor donations, you know, the first day after he announced his presidential candidacy. And that's far more than any of the other 2020 contenders raised in their first 24 hours. So I think that that just shows the extent to which he still has nationwide grassroots support and the extent to which his name ID may continue to help him going forward.
So what is this going to mean for some of those already declared candidates who you know, have made something of a splash for themselves, but not nearly the splash that Sanders made yesterday?
Well, exactly. I just think the reaction to the Sanders announcement just shows the extent to which the Democrats remain divided over not just who should be at the top of the ticket in 2020, whether they favor someone who's more progressive of the Sanders ilk or someone who is more established, more of an establishment, middle of the road candidate that might be more appealing to independent voters. But even within that, within the progressive ranks of the party, how much division and how much competition for the same slice of the electorate exists right now.
Is this the race President Trump wants between himself and Sanders?
Well, I think that even just taking a step back from that, I think right now the race is between Sanders and people like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker for, you know, the progressive wing of the party, not even the party as a whole. And I think that's certainly the race that Trump wants, is Democrats fighting among themselves, not necessarily fighting him.
Yeah. And I guess we're still a pretty long way from seeing how that race shakes out when, you know, maybe we're seeing a resumption of the fissure between the Democratic Party that we saw when Sanders raced against former Secretary Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Absolutely. And I think we're seeing that, you know, 2.0, if not, you know, we're seeing that even to that, to the next degree of what we saw in 2016. And I think to your previous point, I think Trump, you know, I think if I was advising Trump, I would say that I would be more comfortable with him running against a more liberal candidate that might not have as much appeal to middle of the road voters in middle America as, you know, someone who's more centrist. And so in that way, I do think that having Bernie Sanders or someone from that wing of the party could be more appealing to the Trump campaign as a general election opponent.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. CBS has created some of the most popular shows on television, like NCIS and The Big Bang Theory. But its programming prowess always seemed inextricably linked to Les Moonves, the disgraced former CEO who was forced out following numerous sexual harassment allegations. CBS is now trying to restore its image and remain relevant as viewers continue to ditch cable TV for streaming services. Despite last year's scandals and setbacks, the company is putting forth some intriguing ideas to drive more subscribers to its own video apps and take advantage of the industry's demand for licensed content. But CBS still hasn't named a permanent CEO. It needs to do that soon and also finally decide on a merger with Viacom. If the ultimate goal is to get bought by a larger media or tech giant, it's crucial that CBS not let its reputation for must-have content fade away. That gets harder the longer it goes without naming a leader. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, Karen.
Nathan, thank you. Watching CBS earnings crossing the Bloomberg fourth quarter profit, beating analyst estimates, comp sales beat as well. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Herndon Solutions Group is a small business that has contracts with multiple government agencies, including NASA and the Department of the Interior. The company president, Christine Herndon, says as a result of the recent government shutdown, small business federal contractors are getting annihilated. Now the contractors are joining forces with unions, demanding some of the pay they didn't receive. Andrew Wallander, Bloomberg Law, says that might be a long shot.
Last time this happened in 2013, contractors and unions together, they fought and tried to get contractor back pay on the same level as federal employees and were unsuccessful. So it's yet to be determined if this time around things will be different.
Well, Herndon says, among other things, she had to convince several of her employees not to seek employment elsewhere after the government shutdown. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. I am watching CVS Health right now in early trading. Shares are down 3.8%. Its forecast for the year missing analyst estimates. And we will have more on CVS's earnings straight ahead on Bloomberg Surveillance. That's with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. Again, CVS Health shares down 3.1%. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.